Our scripture lesson this evening is found in the book of Mark, Mark 4. We'll be reading verses 35 through 41. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. It's a story about Jesus and the disciples in the boat where storm comes up and the disciples are afraid that they're going to drown, and they wake up Jesus and Jesus calms the storm. It's a familiar passage, and I pray that God would open up some new principles for us tonight, that we might learn again what he is saying to us here in this story. So Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 35, this is the word of the Lord. That day when evening came, he, that is Jesus, said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." And he was talking here about going over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or Lake Gennesaret. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." And that's the reading of God's word for us this evening. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this past week, I was reading a short magazine that I get, and the title of the first article reads, "Make Preparations for the Storm Season." Now, summertime is a time for heat, it's time for humidity, and it's a time when we experience storms. We experience thunderstorms, and sometimes the forecasters can predict when that's coming and when it might hit a certain area. In fact, sometimes on your TV, if you look at the Weather Channel or some other channel, that they have something going across the bottom and says that it's expected to hit Morristown at 9 o'clock and Pequannock at 9:10 and North Haldon, you know, at this time. But other times, they're called pop-up storms, and they don't know where they're going to pop up. You look at the radar and you say, "Well, nothing's happening here." And then a half hour later, you see dark clouds coming and there's a thunderstorm. Well, summertime is also the beginning of the hurricane season. It starts in June 1, and like thunderstorms, they can be hard to predict. Hard to predict where they're going to go. Even once they've formed, forecasters have a problem knowing exactly where those storms are going to go. Well, it may be hard to predict thunderstorms all the time and hard to predict hurricanes and where they're going. But we can usually count on a thunderstorm at least sometime during the summer. Maybe not a hurricane, but certainly a thunderstorm. Well, the same can be said for the storms of life. You know, we can't predict when a storm might come. We can't predict how bad it might be. But one thing we can predict is that you either have been or will be going through some type of a storm in your life, that all of us experience different types of storms. So it's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when. And the question I think that raises in my mind when I read this story here is that when a storm occurs, how do I deal with it? How do I face it, or how do I face that storm, so to speak? Somebody said that when storms of life hit you, do you fearfully focus on the storm or do you faithfully focus on the Savior? Let me say that again. Do you fearfully focus on the storm or do you faithfully focus on the Savior? Our scripture lesson this evening, as we said, is about the storm. And it takes place on the Sea of Galilee. which is located in northern Israel, in the hills in the north. The Sea of Galilee is, I believe, it's the lowest freshwater body in the world. Its water level is 600 feet below sea level. And it's about 12 miles long and about 8 miles wide. And it's on either side, both the eastern side and the western side, are mountainous areas. On the eastern side, I believe it's about 1,800 feet above the water level. And on the western side, about 700 feet. And the way that lake sits there, it is really prone to weather conditions that come over the mountains, drop down over the lake, and they can have sudden thunderstorms or severe storms that'll just pop up like that, like what happened here to the disciples and Jesus. And we're told that it can get so bad that the waves on the Sea of Galilee can be as much as 20 feet. We don't know whether it was that bad here, but it must have been a pretty bad storm, because the disciples, some of them being fishermen, you would think that they would have gone through storms before and that they could handle something like this. But they're pretty scared. And when Jesus says, let's go over to the other side, he's saying, let's go over to the eastern side of the lake or the sea. And that area was called the Decapolis. It was 10 city-states, very pagan area. In fact, they raised pigs to sacrifice to their idols. And so Jews would never go over there. And the disciples must have wondered, why in the world does Jesus want to go over there? What is he going to do in a place like that? Well, we see here in this story that there are really two storms going on. There's the storm of nature, or meteorological storm, with the wind and the rain and the waves. But there's also a storm of life that the disciples are experiencing. We see that they are scared for their lives, and they wonder, what in the world are we going to do? Well, what I'd like to do is to look at this story. And I think there are at least four principles that we can learn, that we can apply and to our lives as we deal with, as we face, or as we face the storms of life. The first one is that you can be close to Jesus and still encounter storms. You can be close to Jesus and still encounter storms. You know, how would you feel if Jesus were physically by your side every day? Every minute of the day. I don't know about you, but I would kind of feel like, you know, wow, nothing bad can happen to me. You know, there's nothing bad can occur because Jesus is right there. It's almost like I was thinking about this a little bit and thinking that, you know, it's like if one of our son-in-laws is a New York City policeman, if he were to be with me every day with that gun in his holster, hey, I'd be pretty safe. You don't have to worry about things. And I think that sometimes we feel that way as well. Well, in this passage, Jesus is physically in the boat. He's asleep in the back of the boat. And when you see pictures of Galilean boats at that time, they're not very big. And so with maybe, I don't know whether all 12 disciples were in the boat, same boat, or they had their other boats. But no matter how many were in that boat, 5, 6, 12, all 12, they could probably have just reached out and touched Jesus. That's how close maybe Jesus was. And Jesus was right there. And yet, there's a storm. Yet there's this bad storm where the disciples are so afraid that they're afraid they're going to die. Well, I think what it shows us, or what tells us, is that whether we are believers or not, whether we trust in God or not, that we all go through life storms, whether we're believers or unbelievers. And, you know, sometimes I think some Christians might think, you know, if the fact that I've got Jesus in my life, that nothing bad should happen to me. And even they might even say, when a storm hits, you know, why did God allow this to happen to me? Almost like, you know, I deserve better than this. I try to be obedient. I go to church every Sunday. Why is God allowing something like this to happen? And we'll get to that in a few minutes. But sometimes we think that, you know, why should storms come in my life. And there are all different types of storms, of course, physical storms, financial storms, relational storms, emotional storms, and all different kinds. But we all experience storms in our lives. And that shouldn't be a surprise, because in John 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And if anyone would have thought that, you know, I don't deserve to have so much happen in my life, so many bad things happen, consider the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 24, listen to what he says that he's gone through. He says, "Three times I was beaten with rods, once was stoned, three times I was shipwrecked. I spent the night and day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in the country, at sea, from false brothers." He goes on and on about the hardships and the storms of life that he had dealt with. And we all go through these storms of life. So the question is, how do we deal with these? What do we do when these storms hit? Because we're not immune as Christians to the storms of life. Well, the second thing, in addition to the fact that even with Jesus in the boat, we can experience storms. But the second thing is that storms force us to cry out to Jesus. You know, there is a picture that was painted by Rembrandt of the storm on the Sea of Galilee. And it's got this boat that's just about tipped over, and the waves and the wind, it just looks really, really like a bad situation. And knowing that some of the disciples were fishermen, I can just imagine that they were just trying with everything that they knew about boating, about sailing, to keep that boat from capsizing. That maybe they were trying to maneuver the sail, maybe shift the weight around, maybe they threw some of the stuff overboard, whatever. They were probably trying with all of their might to make sure that that ship didn't overturn. And then, when maybe it seemed like all was lost, and they had nothing else that they could do, they cry out to Jesus. Finally, in desperation, they cry out and say, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" They become afraid, even with Jesus right there physically in the boat. And they probably had a lot of what-if questions going through their minds. Well, what if the sails break up? What if the boat breaks up? What if the boat sinks? What's going to happen to us? Have you ever thought or said something similar to God when a storm of life hits you? You might say, "God, don't you care about me? Why are you letting this storm go on and on and on? Where are you, Lord? What's happening?" And we question just like the disciples. And, you know, it's very easy to read this story and from our vantage point look back and say, "Boy, how could the disciples not have right away called on Jesus? You know, as soon as the storm hit, why didn't they just call on Jesus and say, 'Jesus, what do we do now?'" Instead, I can just see them trying with all their might. And we do that too, don't we? When storms of life hit, we might say, "You know, I've dealt with this before. I'll deal with it again." Or we'll go to somebody else. We'll maybe rely on money or people or ourselves. And maybe when it seems like everything is lost and we're desperate, then we cry out to God. It's not the way that it should be, that we should be crying out to God as soon as that storm hits. And we see in the Bible where David understood this. In fact, in a number of the Psalms, we read that David, he says, "I cry out to the Lord. I cry out when there's a storm of life." And even questioning God sometimes, why is this happening? Or when will this storm be over? When will you come and rescue me from the storm? It's not unusual to hear David say that in some of his Psalms. And Paul understood this as well. In fact, in talking about his trials, he says in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 and 9, "We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life," just like the disciples. "Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God." You see, they cried out. He cried out to God. It tested his faith. We're going to be talking about that in a minute. But it tested his faith that he relied on God and not on his own strength. And that's what we need to do as well. You know, when the storms of life hit, one thing that you can be sure of, that God cares for you. God cares for you no matter what that storm might be, no matter how long that lasts. Because we read in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, Peter writes, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." He bought you with a price. He bought me with a price. He's not going to give up on us. He's not going to let a storm break us. He's going to carry us through. And second, when you feel like you're at your rope's end, and hopefully you do this before that point, and you're wondering what to do, the Bible's advice is cry out to Jesus. Cry out to God. Let him know. He knows what you're going through. And just as Jesus calmed the storm, God will do that as well. In this case, Jesus calmed the storm. He might not always do that, but you can count on him always calming your soul, that he will give calm to your soul, even in the midst of life storms. As I was preparing this message, I came across a song that's called "Cry Out to Jesus." And it goes, goes like this. "To everyone who's lost someone they love long before it was their time, you feel like the days you had were not enough when you said goodbye. And to all the people with burdens and pains keeping you back from your life, you believe that there's nothing and that there is no one who can make it right. For the marriage that's struggling just to hang on, they lost all of their faith and love. They've done all they can to make it right again. Still, it's not enough. For the ones who can't break the addictions and chains, you try to give up, but you can't, but you come back again. Just remember that you're not alone in your shame and your suffering. When you're lonely and it feels like the whole world is falling on you, you just reach out. You just cry out to Jesus, cry to Jesus. To the widow who suffers from being alone, wiping the tears from her eyes. For the children around the world without a home, say a prayer tonight. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, love for the broken heart. There is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever you are. Cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus." So the first principle is that even with Jesus in the boat, we all can experience storms. The second is that storms can cause us to cry out to Jesus. And the third is that Jesus, God, can permit storms sometimes to enter into our lives in order to test our faith. We see that Jesus wakes up and he calms the storm. And then he asks two questions of the disciples. "Why are you so afraid? And do you still have no faith?" And it's interesting that the word that's used for completely calm, it's almost like an immediate calm and a perfect calm. And that's got to be miraculous. You know how it takes a while for storms to come and then to settle down. This happened immediately. And the disciples see another miracle of Jesus. And in some of the passages before Mark chapter 4, and in some of the other Gospels where we read about this account, Jesus is teaching the disciples and people around him about faith. And it seems like after Jesus teaches them, after they're in the classroom, then he takes them out into the field and says, "Okay, Let's test. Let's see how much you've learned. And Jesus says, do you still have no faith? After you see all the miracles that I've performed, after you've heard what I've been teaching, you still have no faith. Well, the Bible talks about how storms of life are used by God to purify our faith, to strengthen our faith, to help us in growing spiritually. In 1 Peter 1, verse 7, Peter writes these, and what he's referring to here is grief and all types of trials. He says, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, that faith may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed. And James, in his first chapter, in verses 2 through 4, says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking in anything. Again, trials in our lives help to build us spiritually. And this is an interesting one that I found in Psalm 119. I wouldn't have expected it to be there. But the psalmist writes, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I obey your word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Before he went through this trial, this storm of life, he was going in the wrong direction. But through this storm of life, he learned something. And now he's obedient to the Lord. He acknowledges the fact that storm of life is something that helped to build his faith. Storms are going to come. We cry out to Jesus. And Jesus helps us grow in our faith as we go through some of the storms of life. Well, the final principle here is that if Jesus is in your boat, you know that you'll make it through the storm. The disciples forgot what Jesus said when they first got into the boat. He said, let's go to the other side. Now, one of the commentators made a statement of this about that statement that Jesus makes, let us go to the other side. He says, once the creator of the universe makes up his mind that he's going to the other side of the lake, there was nothing in heaven or on earth that would have sunk that boat. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. He knew that a storm was coming. He knew that they wouldn't sink. He wanted them to trust him, knowing that he would be right there. And you know, one of my favorite passages in the Bible is from Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2. These words are set in song, which we're going to sing in a couple of minutes, in How Firm a Foundation. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. And of course, Psalm 23, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Eugene Peterson paraphrased these couple of verses from Isaiah 43. And it says, this is the way it goes, quote, God says, when you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end, because I am God. I paid a huge price for you. That's how much you mean to me. That's how much I love you. So don't be afraid. I'm with you. End of quote. And Jesus promises to be with us as well. When we take him into our lives and we trust him, even and especially during life storms, because God didn't guarantee a storm-proof life. He promises, though, to be with us in the midst of those storms. And Jesus never promised a smooth ride, but he promises to get to our destination, just as when he said to the disciples, let's go to the other side. I think you're all probably familiar with the story of the Titanic. It's called the greatest maritime disaster in history. The Titanic sank on its maiden voyage in April 15, 1912. And it wasn't a storm that sank the ship. It was an iceberg. And they say that it was also the self-confidence of the shipbuilders. It's supposed to be an unsinkable ship, but that's all she ever did was sink. One of the crew members commented to a Mrs. Sylvia Caldwell when she boarded, God himself could not sink this ship. Well, 1,500 people perished, more than 1,500 people perished that day. But there's a story that goes with this sinking of the Titanic that I've never heard of it before. The Titanic was built in Belfast, Northern Ireland. And after the news of the sinking, people of Belfast took to the streets to weep and mourn. Grown men embraced other men and cried bitter tears. The ship sank on a Monday, and the following Sunday at the Derry Presbyterian Church, there was great sadness because 16 men from that church were working on as engineers on the ship and had drowned in the icy waters of the North Atlantic. The church was packed to overflowing that Sunday. Pastor Andrew Smith chose to preach on this same text that we're looking at this evening. He made an amazing statement to the grieving congregation. He said, there's only one vessel in all of history that was truly unsinkable, the little boat occupied by the sleeping Savior. Then he added, and the only hearts that can weather the storms of life are hearts with Jesus inside. All of us either have or will experience the storms of life. The question is, how do we deal with them? Remember from the story here that even with Jesus in the boat, we're going to encounter storms. And those storms may be used to help us to cry out to God. He's only a prayer away, just like he was only an arm stretch away, maybe, to the disciples. And he may use these storms to help build our faith, to help us grow spiritually. And finally, remember that with Jesus in the boat, that even through the midst of life's storms, that we will always get through. We will always make it to our destination, so to speak. So the question for me and for you this evening is, how are we facing life's storms? Are we facing them trusting in God, knowing that Jesus is right there with us? Or are we like the disciples? We're afraid, we forget, we try to do it on our own strength, and finally, we cry out to the Lord. May God give us the strength, may God give us the wisdom to trust in him completely, especially when storms of life hit. Amen. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this, what seems to be a simple story, and yet there's so much packed into it, we can't even get into all of it this evening. Lord, we thank you that even though storms of life come into our lives, that you are always with us, and that we can cry out to you, and when we do that, Lord, may we not cry out, why is this happening, but maybe cry out, Lord, what can we learn from this? What are you trying to teach me as I go through this storm? And Lord, help us above all to remember your promise. Your promise is that never fail, that you will always be with us and that you will help us through. Help us, Lord, to apply these teachings to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.